One of the things I enjoy when I read Jewish authors, there are other things, but one of the things I enjoy about reading Jewish authors is watching how they write God. Because as faithful Jews, they pay rather stricter attention to that commandment about not taking the Lord's name in vain. And when you write the name of God, you sort of send it out into the universe, which means bad things could happen to it. So they tend not to write the name of God. And a strictly observant Jew, and the more orthodox and observant you get, the further away from actually writing God they get, come up with ways around this. The perhaps most fun one that I see is they write G-D. Sometimes I don't know if it's because they have a more joking relationship with this. I don't think that's true, but I like to imagine that's true. Or if it's sort of an acknowledgement that the people in their audience may not be as clued in to the other ways. It's sort of, you know, in caveat to us poor Gentiles out there. Just so we know that this is who they're talking about, they'll make it blindingly obvious. Then you get the ones who write Lord, as has been done for millennia, instead of using the name of God. Then you get ones who write Hashem, the English translation for the name, because you would not even, instead of speaking the name of God, you'll write the name, and everyone knows that you mean God. It amuses me. Some days my brothers tell me I'm easily amused, and I usually respond, that's why I'm also cheaply entertained. And they walk away having sort of lost that chance to make fun of me. If you read the Old Testament text in Hebrew, you know that this habit, this tradition Jewish writers practice today in English, goes back quite a long ways. When my Hebrew class and I got to the point where we could actually read the manuscript well enough, and we got to the parts of the text that said God, our professor made us stop and look at it, and the way it was pointed, how vowels are added, was a little unusual. There were too many vowels for the word. Because the manuscript was pointed, the vowels were added later than the consonants were written in. After this tradition of not saying the name of God developed. And they wanted to help anyone who was trying to read the manuscript aloud avoid saying the name. So they pointed it for Adonai, Lord, instead of however you would try to pronounce this unpronounceable word that's written in for God. We pronounce it Yahweh. Being Christians, we take a slightly different approach to this whole thing. My classmate said, so, Professor, what do we do with this? He said, well, if you're high church, you say Adonai, and if you're low church, you say Yahweh. She spent the rest of our time together in Hebrew saying Adonai, and I spent the rest of our time in Hebrew together saying Yahweh, and we perfectly understood each other. But it gets complicated. How do we approach God? How do we talk about God? And all of this was complicated long before an angel showed up to a young girl in a little village and said, you're having a baby. And she said, what? How is that going to happen again? She said, the details aren't as important. Everything works out with God. And by the way, he has a name. Naming God. Now, obviously, it's a little bit tougher to raise a child if you can't name them. But the name of God is something I think we have forgotten to be shocked by. We revere it in our own way. We understand that Jesus is a unique name, even though it's not. Visit a Hispanic section, look at, you know, the baseball players we import from the Dominican Republic and Costa Rica. And it wasn't. We understand it's a special name, even still, or at least it's, in this case, a name which means someone special. But naming God, not only do you have to bring him up, feed him, God's going to cry at 2 a.m., God's going to be a baby, sorry about that, but God will have a name for the first time, well, really ever. Our high church, in the Episcopal Church, there's high church and there's truly high church, and wherever on that spectrum you fall, our high church brethren cope with this. In Philippians, we hear, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And there are people out there who, especially liturgically, when Jesus is mentioned, bow. They acknowledge this and give reverence to the name of Jesus. It's an impressive habit, and when you meet someone in whom it is truly deeply ingrained and a part of how they celebrate their relationship with God, it's amazing to watch them in church, because it is as though they don't even have to think about it. When Jesus' name is mentioned, they bow, and the service continues. There's nothing showy or special. Just as there would have been nothing showy or special when Mary would have called Jesus in for dinner. Because I doubt, as perfect as I'm sure the Christ child was, he showed up for dinner every evening 2 minutes early with his hands washed. I just don't think that's how it went down every evening. It happened naturally, as it happens for those people for whom that is important, for whom remembering that sort of reverence, that very ancient reverence, that very, in a sense, Jewish reverence for the name of God matters. We lost something, I think, in this naming of the Christ child, Jesus. God saves is what that means. Yeshua, Joshua. But I think we also gained something. There's something delightful about having the God who showed up to dinner, probably with his hands dirty, once or twice a week, about having a name we know and we understand is close to us, is like us. And at the same time, having a tradition wherein we understand it is an important name, where this child is not like everyone else on the block. Because just as my classmate and I in Hebrew class could perfectly understand each other, despite Adonai or Yahweh, this whole thing isn't about whether we bow every time the name of Jesus is mentioned or we don't. It's not, as it so often isn't, about whether we are high church or low church. It's not about all of the many different things we could insert there that so often separate us. It's about how we unite around Jesus for the glory of God. Amen.